from John chapter 4, verses 5 through 42. So Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria? Jews do not share things in common with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will become in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying, 'I have no husband,' for you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know. For salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming and is now here when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But Jesus said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say, 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the sayings hold true, 'One sows and another reaps.' I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony. "He told me everything I had ever done." So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there for 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. So last week, we read the story of Nicodemus visiting Jesus. We talked about being born again, about baptism and God's pinky swear promises, and we talked about new life out of water and spirit.
Our reading today is a continuation of Jesus' ministry and is in so many ways a contrast to the experience Nicodemus had. Nicodemus and the woman at the well couldn't be more different. Most obviously, Nicodemus is a man. He's Jewish, and not just Jewish, but a leader of the Jewish council. He was a pillar in his community, wealthy and respected. The woman at the well is none of these things. She is obviously female. She's Samaritan. She would be considered unclean by ancient Israelites because of her heritage. If a Jewish person were to speak to her, they themselves would be unclean until they returned to the temple. She was no leader of anything, and she was definitely not a pillar in her community. Preachers over the years have given her all kinds of traits that might not belong to her. The truth is, there is nothing obviously immoral about her situation. The woman's admission to having five husbands has nothing to do with prostitution or immorality. It has to do with being a victim. It is far more likely that the Samaritan woman was legitimately married to five men in her life, and due to death or divorce, found herself in need of someone to care for her over and over again. And as a woman living in ancient Samaria, she didn't have rights to care for herself. It's far more likely that she was cast aside, that these men in her life continued to say no to her, continued to put her into the realm of unknown circumstances. The man that she lives with now is probably stuck with her because she was married to his brother or another family member, and he's taken her in as part of his responsibility to his family member. One of the most common reasons for divorce in ancient Israel and Samaria was the inability to conceive children. It is far more likely that this woman, continually cast aside by those who were meant to care for her, was cast aside because she was barren. And in that ancient Jewish and Samaritan culture, that barrenness must have been punishment for something. And so not only had she been cast aside and left on her own with little in terms of relationship, the community itself ostracizes her. There are a lot of theories about why she's at the well in the middle of the day. It's the hottest time of the day. No one else is there for a reason. She doesn't come to the well with friends or with neighbors as part of the normal social aspect of her daily life. She comes alone. And as a woman who has been so ostracized by the men in her life, it's fair to recognize her loneliness as being cast aside by her community too. She is literally the opposite of Nicodemus from last week's story. The rich Jewish council member versus the woman at the well. This woman, this Samaritan, ostracized from her community with no agency in her life, unable to bear children, this woman who was alone and without meaningful relationships, comes to the well where Jacob first saw Rachel. And if you were in our Journeying Through Genesis class last week, we touched upon this story just a little bit. But long story short, this well is a big deal for the Samaritans and the Jewish people. This is where Jacob first saw Rachel. It's a love at first sight story, and it's a pinnacle part of Jacob's story. So this woman comes to the well, and as she draws water, Jesus starts talking to her. And to say that this is shocking is in some ways an understatement. Like I said, for a Jewish person to speak to a Samaritan, it wasn't just about prejudice, it wasn't just about social boundaries. It was literally unheard of. Normally, Jesus would have to travel all the way back to the temple in Jerusalem to be made clean again. And now add that not only is this a Samaritan, but this is a woman. In a culture where men and women rarely spoke to each other, especially alone and unsupervised, and at the well known for its biblical history of love at first sight. This encounter would be shocking to hear from the early church, and it's shocking to hear for the woman standing at the well. Not just because this Jewish man is talking to her, but that there is something else going on, and she seems to recognize it. Most women might have ignored this exhausted man at the well. They might have walked away. They may have run, even, to avoid the embarrassment or the scandal of speaking to a Jewish man on their own. But she doesn't. Her question, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" is basically saying, "Who do you think you are? Do you have any idea what you're doing? Where you are? Who I am? Maybe it's because she doesn't have anything to lose. She's already ostracized. She's already shamed by the community. Why not talk to this uppity man asking her for water? But as Jesus continues, he tells her about this living water. And like Nicodemus from the week before, she is confused. She thinks he's talking about something literally. Nicodemus asked how he could be born again when he's already old. The woman at the well asks Jesus how he can draw water with no bucket. This living water that Jesus is talking about, this is the same water that with the Spirit makes us new, makes us reborn, gives us new life. And as their conversation continues, as Jesus speaks to this woman as an equal, as she asks him theology questions about where to worship, because that's a big theological issue for Samaritans and Jews, of where you worship, and they have a conversation as if he's her teacher, and he's teaching her about God, the relationship between Jesus and this woman changes from two strangers at the well into something more of a relationship. And it's unlike the encounter with Nicodemus, because like we do in any relationship, in any deep conversation, we share ourselves with each other. And Jesus actually shares with the woman a part of himself. Jesus tells her that he is the Messiah. When she speaks of her faith in the Messiah coming, Jesus says, "I am," alluding to God, the I Am from Exodus, who spoke to Moses through a bush. Jesus tells her that the great I Am is the one speaking to her right now. This encounter with Jesus is an encounter with the living water that Jesus is offering, and it brings the woman new life. Last week we talked about rebirth and new life a lot, and we don't really see what Nicodemus does with the words Jesus tells him. Here, the gospel writer John shows us what this new life through water and spirit, through living water, can look like. It looks like this woman leaving the well without her water jar. She doesn't need it because she has received living water, because her thirst has been quenched, because she is running to a new life, to the new life that Jesus has made in her. Rather than being on the outside of community, she is running to her community. She goes to share with the people she once avoided. In the new life that Jesus gives us, this living water rushes over our experiences together, guides us to reconciliation, to courage, and to sharing. Because rather than being without agency, rather than not being a leader, this woman is now leading a crowd of Samaritans to Jesus. She has a voice, and it's a voice that preaches, and it preaches the good news of Jesus to those around her. "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done." He cannot be the Messiah, can he? Rather than being unable to bear children, Jesus makes her fruitful in her harvest of the people of her city. She sows and reaps ministry with Jesus and is the mother of faith for her entire community. Jesus tries to explain this work that's already happening to his confused disciples while the woman is away. And he says the reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may rejoice together. Jesus is already rejoicing at the harvest, at the labor of her words, of her voice, of the fruit of her leadership in her community. And rather than being alone, Jesus showed this woman relationship. Jesus treated her as an equal, gave her space for her questions, recognized her deep hurts, and shared with her a part of himself. He rejoices with her because discipleship, because following Jesus, believing in him, sharing his love and mercy with those we meet, is an experience of relationship. It is a relationship that we have with our Lord, with the one who came to the world to save the world. It is a relationship of love with the one who goes to the cross to bring us this living water, to bring us new life, relationship, hope, voice, and reconciliation. This is the new life we receive. And this new life brings us into relationship with our community, with the world around us, the world that God loves so much. This new life invites us to share with others, to share our faith, to share the love and mercy we receive, to share our new lives of relationship and hope. to share all of these things with those we meet, to invite others to come and see, not just with our words, but with our actions and our own relationship with Jesus, so that we too can leave our water jars behind, so that we too can no longer thirst, but instead run to our new lives in this living water, so that together, like the Samaritans who followed the woman back to the well, back to Jesus, we can say together that this Jesus, this uppity man at this well, this parable-telling, cross-bearing Son of God, is truly the Savior of the entire world.
Amen.
Thanks be to God. Amen. Amen.